Money Show.
Small business.
Welcome to The Money Show on this Thursday evening. Pavlo Fotidis from Auric Business Accelerator, your physical service to a digital service. And every single CEO I'm talking to, Pavlo Fotidis, is just talking about how they've been completely taken aback by the huge surge in online demand. They didn't think it was there, and they probably wouldn't have been there as quickly as it became available. But what has happened over the last 7 months is the shift to digital has been an extraordinary experience.
It has, Bruce. And, you know, I'm really hoping that it remains in that way and in play at the same time. And I think it will. I think it will, because the ability to get really good engagement with, and I was listening to Andrew, and I was listening to a conversation about the bucket of trust, and I was listening about remote working, but you can improve what you lose in the physical engagement. You can gain extensively if you've got a good digital strategy too, and you can gain beyond it, because once you start on a program of digitizing your business, in many ways, Bruce, it's not a destination. It becomes a new way of looking at business, and it changes the entire purpose of the business, or rather the entire strategy behind the business. So I'm seeing a lot of it, and I'm seeing a lot of it because of what created the changes that are driving it.
And those changes are absolutely monumental, Pavlo. I mean, they are nothing short of extraordinary in terms of the huge opportunity that this change brings. And the opportunity almost becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, I guess, in terms of driving that change.
It does. It really has a profound impact on behavior. But if I think about where we are now, a year ago, more or less a year ago, almost a year ago, just under a year ago, there was an event, Bruce, that took place on a Friday. And over 6 billion rands of spend took place in and around that event called the Black Friday event. There were over 7 million online and offline transactions. And here's the most interesting piece of information, the one that really caught my attention. The largest amount spent on a purchase, do you want to take a guess at the number? A single transaction.
No clue, actually.
So it wasn't a TV, it wasn't a fridge, it wasn't a phone. It was a service. And the exact amount was 10,067,400 rand. And it came from an overseas acquirer who bought an incentive tour in South Africa for his staff. And I thought, when I looked at that number, the Black Friday event has grown from year to year to year to year. And when I look at that amount of spend, 6 billion rand, mostly in the business to consumer space, I thought to myself, well, business to business, why aren't we playing in that space? Why aren't we having a share of it? So opportunity, when opportunity arises, it drives change.
And crisis, of course. I mean, I think we're familiar with the fact that, I mean, we've been through the crisis, and a lot of us would have, you know, if somebody had said to us, you know what you're going to do for the next month, you're going to work from home, we would have gone, okay, maybe tried it out and then meandered back to the office at some point because you were lonely, or it just felt a bit awkward, or the IT didn't work, or your broadband wasn't good enough. We were forced into it. We were forced into an unbelievable level of change. And I think that was probably a good thing in many respects.
Well, I think it was a good thing. You know, we had a bit of a blip in it at one point in time when our minister from the Department of Trade and Industry suggested that digital online e-commerce activity should not be allowed because it created
an unfair
environment. But it really does support progress towards the fourth industrial revolution. And I was looking at some stats recently, because behind all of this change, behind the fact that more people now than ever before in the history of South Africa, have had to shop out of necessity online because of the crisis, And the first couple of online attempts might have been clunky, getting used to a payment method, you know, meandering through a website, figuring out how it all works. You place an order for your groceries. You then place it again. You place it a third time. Bruce, I don't see how people are going to want to reverse out of that. I mean, why would I want to get into a car, reverse out the driveway, in the traffic, find parking, pay for the parking to go and get a tin of Mr. Min? I'd rather just click a few buttons and have it delivered to me. And what I think that's doing is it's created an increasing comfort and dexterity with technology. And that is the early stage of creating a habit around how you want to be served in the things that you buy.
And then suddenly your competitors start doing it. Suddenly your competitors look like they're going to steal a march on you. And there's no better pressure than peer pressure in most respects in life. And certainly when it comes to running businesses in a disruptive and disrupted environment, I think peer pressure is a great motivator.
Well, I think it's a great motivator because if you don't respond to it, that peer pressure, I mean, peer pressure is a lovely way to put it, but that competitor will eat your economy, it'll eat your income, it'll eat your business, and then you're left with nothing. So good competition, solid competition drives a crisis. It creates crisis for business owners. And if you respond to the crisis by innovating out of the crisis, doing things differently, doing things to remain relevant, which is, I think, what's happened extensively in this environment here. I'll give you a great example. I work with a business in the US who have been dabbling for some time with the new way of buying shampoo. They argued that firstly, everyone's hair is different because everyone's an individual. They then argued that as you grow through life and as you move from your teenagers to your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the quality of your hair and the nature of your hair changes.
What do they know?
They also then argue that shampoo is one of those things that really should largely be invisible when you buy it. And in Bruce, when I look at what they were up against to compete with big brands that had owned and governed and completely dominated the distribution channels to get a shampoo brand onto a retail store or into a hairdressing salon, they eventually turned on and said, there's got to be a better way to do it. Out of sheer necessity, we have to innovate. And where they've gotten to in beta stages right now is they've created an app on a cell phone. You have the ability to photograph your head of hair up close. The app has the ability to interpret the quality of your hair and then suggest a customized shampoo best suited to your hair, its texture, the styles you want, and you put in your BMI, you put in your age, you put in some other data. And then it says to you, once it's formulated the shampoo for you, tap here, and for between $18 to $24, in 24 hours, the hair shampoo will be delivered to your door. That kind of competition was a response to a crisis where they had a very, very good formula for shampoo and a great brand, but could never get to market with it. I think that's already happening. I'm seeing it extensively in every single industry right across the board. Those that stepped up and responded fast to the crisis are now ahead, and they're creating an environment that's putting their incumbent competitors into crisis on the back foot. And they now are starting to mobilize. So I think innovation as a whole is going to lift right across the board.
What happens if you just decide, look, I've got a great business. My customers come to me. They can come to me now. They like the fact that they're coming to the shops. They like the fact that they're getting out. I don't need to make this really inconvenient shift, Pavlo. I don't need to do it. Stop bothering me with this nonsense, Pavlo. Stop telling me I need to digitize, Pavlo. Just leave me alone and let me do my nice turnover and keep going and just, you know, leave me be.
So, Bruce, you're really good on dates and times and spaces. I'm going to paint a picture for you.
Oh, dear.
Here you are. You're located as the CEO in the United States, in a city called Rochester, which is there by the Great Lakes. It's in the New York State. you have about 16,800 people employed in your glorious building with a big fat fountain outside, and you hold that mindset. Today, that same business has 300 staff left. It no longer has the fountain because it vacated that premises, and most have had to now work from home. So who thought like that not so long ago, and they had a moment where all of a sudden they weren't relevant?
I'll click eventually.
You will click because yeah, you did, and it was.
I'll get my exposure right. Let me just get my sense of it, please. It's coming to me. I'll see it all in black and white fairly soon, and you know what? Soon in Technicolor. It's Kodak, right?
Exactly. So I mean, you become irrelevant. You lose talent because nobody wants to be in a sinking ship. You lose customers. Because all of a sudden, if you're not relevant in what you're doing and someone's got a better proposition, you aren't. And you're going to fall prey to competitors. You're going to find the asset strippers coming into your business or competitors coming into your business to take away your staff, to take away your assets, to take away your customers. You really don't have a choice. And I often think that when you face an environment where everything's changing so fast, unless you activate yourself to lead that change and create the new shape for the business and to create relevance for customers who are expecting things to be different, you're going to have it imposed on you. You do not have a choice. You've got to get moving and you've got to get into that place and space. And Bruce, the way to do it is to think in terms of a digitized, customized service, which means that when I buy it or when you buy it, we buy it in a way that suits us. You need to be able to configure that service online, real time, secure the service as you've defined it, and then purchase it. It might well mean that it gets delivered physically to you. So for example, if you're buying kitchen design, I want to go online and you need to create an environment for me where I can answer a few questions. For example, give the dimensions of the kitchen. It might then render a version of the kitchen online. You need to give me some choices and say, for example, I like industrial design, or I like minimal design, or I want family design. And you allow me to install those design storyboards into the space on the screen. And that space articulates my kitchen because I've taken the measurements as you requested. And you can let me change the tile colors and the wall colors and the knobs on the handles of the doors. And when I have something that I like, all online, when it suits me at my time, I can press click, gives me my price, and then you enable me to acquire it. The business is booked before we've even met each other. That's the future, and that's where the edge of competition lies today.
It's just about really experimenting, but you've got to do it because you've got to get it right. You've got to take the step. I mean, you are going to become irrelevant. You are going to become your own version of Kodak, bless them. And if you don't make the change.
And Bruce, it's happening everywhere. I gave you the example of shampoo. It's happening with sound. There's certain cars you get into today that when you accelerate, the sound goes up in order to drown out the engine. It's customized around the way you drive. It's happening in shoes, in clothing, where you can have a red flannel as opposed to a purple flannel. It's happening extensively in the industrial space, in the business services space, where, for example, small devices, IoT devices, are placed into either product or points of entry for stock so that you can forecast the needs of your customers on a completely customized basis. The mantra over here is mass customization. Getting that right or moving towards it puts you in the front foot of where the economies globally are going.
Pavlo Fotidis, he is the founder at Auric Business Accelerator with small business this evening on The Money Show.